Welcome, everyone, to the X Factor Files podcast. We're here with another edition of Defenders with Daryl. This time, I'm joined by another D, Demanda Martini. Demanda, how are you?
I am wonderful. It is just, you know, we were just talking. It's another booked and blessed day. So lots and lots of things going on. But very excited to be joining you again on this podcast, talking about the most... I think, even though I read some of the early 60s stuff with Chad on Gray Malkin, I think I read more wild and ridiculous stories with you.
I take that as such a high compliment that I just find the oddest things to invite you on to discuss. Because this whole storyline, it's so, it's layered. There's so much going on for each character. And then you get new characters introduced as well. So one of them, it's not a new character to the Marvel Universe, but I want to say real underutilized up until this point in 1981, where it's like, surprise, here's someone new. And we'll talk about him when we get to him, because most of the story is about him and his personal relationship that I didn't know we needed to care about.
Like, and that's the thing. It's like, there's so many like oddballs already. That, like, and like the Defenders is just such a wild, like, conglomeration of nonsense anyway. But it's like, hey, here's this other random ass odd character that we're just gonna throw in here. He's not doing anything. And it's like, this is so weird.
Yeah. And Chad has offered, he's like, oh, I'm friends with JM. I can introduce you. I'm like, I need to get through all of his Defenders. And all of his Justice League International, and probably some of his Silver Surfer, so I can, like, just nerd out fully with him the first time. And then he can take me or leave me in the future.
But... right, because, again, like, I don't know what potential illicit drugs this man was on, but he was having a good time, for sure.
He was, and this is a couple years after he wrote Creature Commandos and all that stuff for DC, which was, like, the beginning of his career. And I can see how he sort of used that sandbox to play around in and brought that mentality to the Defenders too. And he's like, who else can I do stuff with, or who can I create? Like, I'll create Gargoyle because why not?
Right.
So let's get into issue 97. This is... the cover has a bunch of angels on it with someone basically sicking angels on the Defenders.
Right. So I, to preface a little bit, I, of course, have known who the Defenders are. I know who I would say 97% of these characters are, just from Marvel knowledge. I've maybe mentioned it before on like other places, but like I really... got most of my comic knowledge from the years I spent behind the desk at a very boring desk job, just reading like Wikipedia entries and UncannyXmen.net and like Marvel databases and stuff like that. So I knew who all these people were. I knew what like their most basic sort of story arc is and like that kind of stuff. So I'm like, I know who these people are and like some of their personality, but like, this is the first time I've like read like a Defenders issue. And this is, you said it earlier, like, this is bonkers.
Yeah.
So when I saw the cover and it's like these angels, I'm like, what are they fighting? Like, where is this going? And it's a little bit in the middle of the story, but also I feel like reading it. And again, you know, as I said, like, I have like a lot of like just Marvel, like baseline knowledge that I was like, I didn't feel like I was missing anything either. And I kind of like that about the way that older stories are written, where it's just like, oh, because yeah, every issue was a new issue that someone could like jump in.
Yeah. And I was talking with someone else, it was John from the Avenging Hour, who recorded issue 98 with me, so that'll be coming out after this in terms of release order. But we talked about how you would just go to a flea market and pick up a random issue, and that's where you started reading,
right?
So you could pick up 97, it could be your first Defenders issue, just like for you. And you're like, sure, yeah, there's stuff happening, and I guess I'll figure it out.
Right. And I mean, honestly how I felt when I first started reading comics. And we don't need to go into like the whole, my whole origin story again, but like, it was like, you have like just this little bit of knowledge about who characters are. And then you start seeing all these other people and you're like, oh, well, who's this? Okay, well, I'm going to start reading about this other person. So like this issue, if I would have just picked it up and I'm like, okay, here's all these people. So now Valkyrie, even though she doesn't do a whole lot in this issue, let's find out who she is and let's, you know, figure it out. And it was a fun issue, but it's also super weird.
Yeah, and that's when you would go like, Valkyrie, great example, where you're like, all right, this blonde Norse woman, I want to know more about her. Then you would just find another issue with her prominently on the cover,
right,
and hope that she had a big role in that issue so you could learn more.
Right. And I mean, and then, you know, you'd ask the delightful nerd behind the counter at the comic book store to then guide you in the right direction of like what issues to get.
Yeah, and where I grew up, there wasn't a comic book store. It was flea markets and garage sales. So my first issues, I pulled from a flea market because I thought the covers looked cool. And that's really what they were going for, because some of my first issues, it was John Byrne, Fantastic Four. It was this era of Avengers with George Perez doing stuff. So it was... yeah, the cover looks cool. I want to read more about this big green lady in the Fantastic Four because she's not in the cartoon. So I want to find out who she is.
Right.
All right. Let's start off because we have sort of coming from the last issue. The Defenders are straight up just chilling in someone else's apartment for 5 hours while Doctor Strange disassociates.
Quite literally.
He's floating in the air. They're surrounding him, just looking, and they're like, wow, we've been here for a while, and he hasn't said anything. And they even mentioned, like, it's a rundown apartment. It's in, like, a slum in, I think it's Detroit.
Yes.
And they're just waiting for Doctor Strange to get some info for them. And they set up shop here.
And what's so funny is that, like, if this were Candy Southern or Cersei, you know that they would not have been like, okay, where's the food? Like, let's get some cheese plates.
Yes.
Fondue. Like, but these guys, they're just sitting, doing nothing.
Yeah, like, we have Patsy and Valkyrie just sitting on someone's bed watching. Right. And it's like, you don't know where those sheets have been. Like, get a quilt and throw it down on top of it or something.
But also just the image of all of them just staring at Steven floating for like 5 hours is hilarious, because that's literally all they're doing is they're just staring at him.
And then he comes out of it and he's like, oh, well, Hellcat, you have some darkness in you. Want to get rid of it?
And she goes, no. And he's like, see, prove my point. There is something in you. She's like,
well, let's do it then, is the exact quote as she's like looking down. It's like, girl.
Right.
Oh. And he sees sort of the next page is basically a summary of what they've done so far. So we got a six-fingered hand. It is so hard to say that. I always say six-figured. If it is a six-figured hand, maybe he wants a husband. But if it's a six-fingered hand, it's full of demons.
Right.
Like it is here.
Right.
So we're seeing sort of what happened. Patsy got a demon in her. They confronted someone at a rock concert. And then he tries to expel it. But it's a strange mental blast from her head into him that throws him against the wall. Which, this wall is probably made of cardboard. So.
Right. Also, like. And it's probably foreshadowing and whatever, but like, obviously, sure, that's not going to be a problem later. Like, obviously, this demon may or may not have left Patsy, may or may not have taken over Steven. It's like, this is probably not going to be a problem. Let's go do something else.
Yes. And we see another panel of Damon and Patsy getting closer. So this is really building their relationship from the foundation at the beginning of this arc. So it's really the genesis of what we even see now in the recent Hellcat series, where Damon was a possessed stuffed bunny, and they're divorced now. But hey, right. They were married back in the day, and we're working towards that in the series here. So he tries to comfort her. But then some dude named Devil Slayer appears out of his own cape.
Appears out of nowhere. Like, no one really invited him. No one has mentioned the fact that this guy is going to show up or that anything tangentially related to him ever. And he's just like, oh, hey, I knew where you were. I have something related to your adventure. And they're like, oh, okay, where did you come from?
And in case anyone is doubting how my description of how this dude shows up, I will read directly from the page. He appears literally from thin air, passing through the folds of his interdimensional shadow cloak. But so what? The cloak precedes him anywhere, somehow.
Sure. Okay.
So did a piece of fabric just appear in midair, and then he emerges from it, like swimming out, like, "Hey, it's me." Like, if I ever saw a piece of fabric just appear and start growing, I'd be like, you know, maybe we shouldn't let this happen.
right, but it's also like, how does that work? Like, is it like cloak, like from Cloak and Dagger?
Like, you probably have more knowledge about cloak than I do, because I just know he has a cloak that he can disappear into. Devil Slayers, you can go to different dimensions with the cloak.
So yeah, cloak is just the Dark Force dimension.
Okay, like,
and you travel through the Dark Force dimension to enter through another shadow somewhere else.
Okay, so this has more power, it sounds like.
Okay,
somewhat in terms of like where you can go.
Right.
Weird. We then get a little bit of background on Devil Slayer. Apparently, he appeared in Defender 60. So this is JM DeMatteis going back, and he's like, who can I use? How about this fuck that no one has heard from?
That no one's heard from in 30 issues, and literally no one has cared about.
Yeah, so apparently they battled demons like 37 issues ago. Right. And then he went off, and he... maybe at the same time, maybe before that appearance. Anyway, he had a wife named Corey, and it just basically didn't work out with them. Like, it seems like it was a little amicable. Like, they grew apart more than anything else.
Right.
And
number one, this guy's costume is wild. Like, nothing about it says Demon Slayer. It's very just like generic superhero in purple and orange. Very strange.
Yes.
Number two, he is a vet, which we talk about, that like he fought in Vietnam.
Yep.
And then he has this really hot black wife who, again, her name's Corey. I don't think so. I'm sure she worked for something, but we won't get into that. But you know, whatever. And I like the fact that it's just like just casual. This is my wife. Yes, she is black. And like, there's no like issue we're talking about. Like, that seems pretty cool and progressive. But her name's Corey, which is no.
No, I'm a Daryl. I mean, you run across Daryls once in a while. You run across female Daryls once in a while. Right. Daryl Hannah. I've never run across a female Corey.
Right.
And it very odd choice of name. So Devil Slayer has shown up because Corey.
Is it Devil Slayer or Demon Slayer? I'm sorry.
It is Devil Slayer.
Which again, like, we literally have the son of the devil on this team.
Yes.
And it's like, your name is Devil Slayer. Oh, also his suit is blue, not purple, but also these colors are
so and the cutout for his face is wild. Like,
yes,
is that staying on?
I mean, as someone who has worn a lot of nonsense on my face, you have to like spirit gum that down. Like, that's not staying by itself.
So the letter that she left him is basically like, I'm going to find myself. And I'm leaving behind my old life. I'm flying to Europe, which, good for you, girl. Like,
right.
Go have a Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, maybe a Mamma Mia moment. Just go. Have fun. And he's like, oh, well, I know that she's, like, probably involved with some bad people. Like, it's so weird.
He's immediately like, I'm suspicious.
Maybe you should have been suspicious of your own actions when you were just too self-involved to appreciate your hot wife.
Right, right.
So, Damon, is it Damon that gets a read off of it with his trident? His psychosensitive trident. And he's like, all right, Dr. Strange, I have the map. You can transport us there. Let's go.
But also, she's randomly run into, she's randomly gone to Israel and found the new Messiah. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what just happened?
Yes, that is the letter that they're getting the read off of, where it's like, I found Jesus, he's in Israel. And it's like, oh no, where, like, we've already been so many places in this story and we're four pages in and we're going to Israel now?
Right. Because we found the new Jesus named David. What's going on?
Yes. We get a little interlude for three panels where it's Man-Thing discovering sort of a rift in the Nexus. And this will be revisited next issue. So this is a tease that will be picked up in full next issue, when the gang goes to Citrusville.
Because again, we haven't been enough places.
We really haven't.
It's a good thing that everyone is a teleporter.
Yes. Everyone has the same ability. The Defenders, not constructed like the X-Men or Avengers teams, where you have that balance. They're just like, who's available? Like, we're going to toss some people in a pot.
Right. And like, everybody's like, relatively strong, relatively invulnerable. Some people, and then, you know, there's Dr. Strange, who's just like, I can do whatever the writer wants me to.
Yes.
And then, like, Patsy has, like, sometimes weird psychic abilities, which are like, sure, Patsy, like, that sounds cool.
And Hellstrom has a psychosensitive trident when she doesn't feel like doing it.
Right. And Gargoyle, I don't know what he's doing. He's just kind of there.
He's an old man. That's his thing.
Right.
And we see it when they transport. So Doctor Strange transports them to the desert in Israel.
Right.
But gives them all civilian garb. Like,
also, everybody's in like a shirt and pants. Gargoyle, of course, is this old, crusty old man.
Yes.
Valkyrie at least looks like normal, like normal lady. Patsy is wearing a literal bikini.
Yes.
But with shorts instead of like, it's like, Steven, we couldn't give her clothes?
Yeah. And Valkyrie is giving me strong Suzanne Summers from Three's Company vibes.
Oh, she is definitely knocking on someone's door.
Yes.
She is waiting for you.
Who's the John Ritter in this group?
John Ritter. I would say Nighthawk, because he definitely gives the most gay vibes.
Yep.
Because, like, he immediately gets dizzy and faints, and then Valkyrie has to carry him.
Because he has been partially disabled, but only when it's daylight.
Right.
So
which again, like, sure.
There's discussion here, and it was like, oh shit, we should have thought about it. Like,
we should have thought about the time differences across the planet.
Yes, we were in Detroit where it was night, and now we're in daytime in Israel. Oh no. But luckily they transported by a literal oasis. Maria Muldaur should have brought midnight to the oasis instead of daytime, because then he could have been okay.
Right.
And they see this man straight up baptizing people.
Yes.
In the waters.
I'm assuming the River Jordan. Like, you know, we're like getting real biblical.
Yeah. this is more like the pond of Jordan, though. Like, it's when it floods and then it leaves a little pond and recedes. And that's where This man has set up in these bacteria laden waters,
right,
to dunk people,
right?
And the worst thing happens. They're like, you know, Nighthawk doesn't have use of his legs. We can use this to our advantage,
right? They're being like, we can just like walk up on this thing and be like, our friend can't walk. Jesus, can you fix him?
Because they just saw a blind man learn to see. It's Amazing Grace Redux. And
it's wild.
And they're like, hey, this man can't walk. Can you help him? And Corey is there. Great job by the Trident and Doctor Strange in combination,
right,
for knowing where Corey was and where David would be too. Like, by coincidence, there's just baptisms happening.
Right,
and
right.
Corey's like, I'm so glad to see you. And
and she also conveniently gives David's complete backstory.
Yes. And Devil Slayer's like, I'm not here for this. Like, hey, I brought along this gang. And so, like, we need time to talk. And she's like, oh, but you're here to see the Messiah, right? And he's like, no. Not exactly.
No, we're not here to see him. Is mostly just to like murder him and or make sure, like, he's possessed by a demon.
Like, I need to rescue you, but also something weird's happening, so it's like team related. So, you know, it's more of like a multi-purpose trip here. But the one thing I'm not here to do is be a religious cult person with you.
Right. It's like, when we have to fill out the expenditure form, it's going to be like multi-lines of lines of funding.
I have to justify my business expenses so many ways. And the only reason that's not on there is religion.
Right.
We do get the backstory about this David. He was a protester against the Vietnam War. Then he became a teacher for special needs children, and then he's like, well, you know, this still isn't enough. Like, I need to go back to my roots in Israel, and an angel appeared to me and gave me powers. So this all happens in like one page, and then we cut back to him dunking Nighthawk.
And Nighthawk's like, oh wow, I can like fully walk again. Isn't this weird?
And in the in-between of him getting dunked and him being like, I can walk again, there's evil-ass lightning
from
the sky.
So when I saw this, I was like, that doesn't seem ominous or strange. That's totally normal.
Yeah.
But also, the evil lightning didn't happen when the blind guy went in.
No. Kyle Richmond, by the way, through reading this, I am just developing a crush on him. Like, he's a cute guy, but the socks are doing nothing for him.
Oh my God.
He's wearing blue loafers with like
these half length
green socks.
Well, he's going on safari.
Oh. Which Doctor Strange is the one who did this to him.
Right. Well, he's like, you're gay, you can pull this off.
Just do it. Pop your ass out. No one will look at your legs.
You can't use them anyway. God, Stephen Strange is a terrible person.
He is.
But also, that's how we know he's also potentially possessed by a demon. Because again, we did not question that whole Patsy Walker-Stephen Strange interaction. We just jumped right in to Demon Slayer, Devil Slayer nonsense.
We did. Then...
Which I should say, pause. There actually is a little bit of foreshadowing, which I'm sure you guys will get to as you're reading. But when they are about to leave, they say, no one really noticed that Stephen Strange was like moving mechanically and not really like into it. And I'm like, yeah, because he just got shot in the brain by a demon that was inside Patsy Walker's head. And no one decided to do anything about that.
No one even asked if he was okay.
Right. Because a cloak appeared and then it's like, we got to go to Israel. And they're like, okay.
Sure. Oh, I did have a note from when we were sort of getting the rundown of the six-fingered hand. that the demons appear to be finger puppets on the egg.
Oh yes. Oh my god. Yes. They're
the finger puppets you would get out of like a vending machine at the grocery store.
100%. They're very scary, very spooky.
Yes. Also spooky is what happened, and Damon Hellstrom is like, I'm calling bullshit on this. Like, no. Like, this is my father's power doing something. No. I'm not accepting this.
Yeah. He's like, I don't feel anything holy about this. I'm definitely feeling like my past coming out.
Yes.
He's like, if I know anything, it's the devil's work because I am one. So, like, this is not that.
And Hellcat is in the background. She's like, that's what I like about Damon Val. He's so diplomatic. Like, he goes in. He's also wearing, like, a super tight black shirt. He has his normal hair horns going on.
Right.
And
lavender pants.
Which, yes.
Again, work. We love
in the them. Desert. In the desert.
We love a bold color choice in the desert.
Yes. And he's about to, like, just fight this David. He's like, I'm gonna throw the fuck down with you. And Gargoyle,
he
and
swings Nighthawk. At him, in fact.
Yes. And Gargoyle and Nighthawk are like, whoa, wait a minute, we can't just haul off and punch someone.
And David's like, why not? I don't understand.
And this Messiah dude who has some, they're not even like cutoffs, they're like torn off shorts. Oh, yeah.
Right.
And he's like, I'm going to hold your hands. Come on. Like, I will show you the truth, Gargoyle and Damon. Hold my hands. The power's going to come through me. And he transmutes them into their normal forms. And he's like, aha, I knew Satan was involved.
And it's like, no, it's just, all you did was get rid of the illusion that Strange put up. Like, ooh, you countered a spell.
And you happen to grab the guy who is a literal gargoyle and the guy with hot abs.
Yeah, and the guy who's literally the son of Satan. Look at these abs.
Yes. And his immediate reaction is like, oh no, I'm going to send angels after you. Like, I'm not even going to question this. You are the powers of evil. This is giving me... So I've been working on some sewing projects in my free time, as you're familiar with. Yeah. And... I always have something on in the background, and it's been the first only two seasons of I Love New York, mm-hmm. where Sister Patterson, very evangelical.
First of all, the fact that you watch I Love New York, I fucking love that show. Sister Patterson is crazy pants. I live.
And that is the vibe I'm getting. Like, if she could call down angels on the contestants on that show, she would.
Oh my god, she 100% would have. Also, side note, isn't it weird that one of those contestants is now married to Jennifer Hudson?
Divorced.
Oh, that's right, divorced. That's
yeah.
right. Get divorced.
But yeah, David Otunga first came out in I Love New York, season 2, went to the WWE because he is buff as fuck.
Yeah, because he's very attractive.
A lawyer and right. married Jennifer Hudson. And they had a baby, which I'm sure it's like the most beautiful baby on the face of the earth that can sing and also prosecute. So, like, that child is set up for life.
Right. But again, but we digress.
These angels come down to do the issues battle because you need a battle.
Right.
An issue. And Corey is trying to spout some stuff like, I hope no one gets hurt, because she and Nighthawk are hanging out, and he's like, I'm really torn if I should help my team, because on the one hand they're my team, but on the other hand I can walk again.
On the one hand, like, these guys are like my friends and my team, the other hand, Jesus dunked me in the pool and now I can walk even though it's the daytime,
so I don't think I'm going to commit myself to this battle yet. And yeah, Corey's so- like, I just hope no one gets hurt.
Right. And so everyone's just like punching an angel or whatever. And then go ahead.
Stephen Strange gets his power of the issue, where he's like, I have a spell for this. I can make them reveal their actual forms. And it turns out they're demons.
Who knew that the guy who's saying that he is the Messiah is actually possessed by a demon and he's bringing demons to Earth?
So Corey sees this and in a hilarious panel is like, what? Like her world is just crumbling.
I know.
And Nighthawk is like, I can finally go into battle because I know they're evil now. And
right. He's like, I now know that this is evil.
This is a bad power that gave me the power to walk. So now I can try to beat its ass.
Right.
And at the same time, David is like being fully possessed. Like it's not just subconscious possession anymore. The demon has taken over his body and he's like, I did this for a reason. It's the six-fingered hand. Who knew that in this multi-issue arc that I would be involved here in Israel to try to destroy this team that the six-fingered hand has targeted? And Corey's like, what are you doing? Like, no, don't let a demon use you. You're so good. And he tosses her off and Devil Slayer pulls a knife. Where the fuck did this knife come from?
Well, that's his sword. That's like his regular sword that he has. He has like a scabbard on his leg or something.
Okay. Yeah, I missed that in the design.
I saw that previously.
Okay. So he pulls his sword and David has blasting powers now.
Of course.
And he sort of blasts Devil Slayer onto the ground, takes a flying leap at him, but his aim sucks. He did not aim for Devil Slayer because he temporarily regained his consciousness.
Yeah, so
and the sword was pointed up. So demon, bad aim. David, also bad aim because he just wants to kill himself. Like,
well, so like he's about to like jump on him and he's like, ugh, I'm possessed. And then he's like, oh, but no, I can't. So like slightly moves himself midair to land directly on the sword.
And impales himself on it. So then we see the demon that was possessing him, a dusty ass yellow demon.
Right.
With two horns, but not how you think they'd be laid out on his head.
But not how you think.
Yep. And he goes away from the corpse. The like angel demons burst into whatever they are, like smoke, whatever. And Corey is clutching the body then, and she's real sad, having sad girl times. And okay, we're going to step through in a forensic way, because if I say this is a true crime episode, then maybe I'll get more listeners. In true crime, we see that he impales himself on the sword. Okay, he's face down for that because he jumps on it. Devil Slayer somehow gets his sword from under him, but leaves him face down. Corey flops that corpse back over face up to comfort him or like coddle it in her lap. But in the next panel, she has tossed that fucker back down on his face the sand.
Oh, no, I'm so sad. Bye.
Like, face down in the sand. And she's like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sad about this. And Devil Slayer's like, oh, we can be together again now. You know, like, you've seen the light. He was totally, like, faking it. Come back with me. And she's like, no, you know, I think I'm going to hang with my new friends here.
I think I'm going to chill here in Israel. It's nice.
Yeah, but thanks for the offer.
Right. And it's also we do get a good profile of Devil Slayer's like weird mask thing. And it does look cool, but it also makes zero sense.
So if anyone wants this as like a bodysuit, make sure to go to the last page of this issue to send to Cyan Man to design. He will need that Cy profile.
Right, to get that cut into the face.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the issue just ends. And the next issue is called The Hand Closes.
Yeah.
So ominous.
So what did you think about your first Defenders issue after you got done reading it and now that we've chatted about it for a while?
So it's an interesting issue where like it does do well as far as like we're gonna bring in like this semi-new character, give us a little bit of his origin, how he's related to this adventure, And then we're just going to kind of like jump into like the crazy bonkersness of it.
Yeah.
And like, it's fairly formulaic in the, and like a little bit like a kind of like a Power Rangers episode where it's like, oh, we're still kind of dealing with a little bit of the stuff from the last issue, but we don't want to deal with that yet. That's going to come up later. So then we have a new person come in to like interrupt it. And I need to take you on this side quest, but the side quest is still related to the main adventure. So it's kind of, I mean, it's kind of cool in that sense. I mean, the characters are all just sort of like weird, which I like. I like the fact that it's like Island of Misfit Toys as a superhero team.
Yeah.
Not the actual defenders don't really get to do a whole lot.
No.
Like Valkyrie doesn't get to really do anything. Gargoyle doesn't really get to do anything. Everybody else has kind of like little tiny character beats. But like it, this is mostly focused on Devil Slayer and this the guy David.
Yeah. And that's what surprised me reading through this the first time. I'm like, oh wow, like it really is a team book, but we bring in this new guy and then it's his story. And obviously he matters in the scheme of things.
Right.
Because he does stick around. Everyone listening, Devil Slayer's around for a while. And the team, you said Island of Misfit Toys. I think, and I mean, this is from 4 years before the movie. It's almost like the Breakfast Club of Marvel. Like, okay. you have the pretty girl. I think Gargoyle is probably the misfit. Right. He's the one who would sprinkle some dandruff onto a drawing to make snow. If he could, I mean, he is scaly skinned. It probably flakes. He could do it, but it very much is like this amalgamation team. It's not based on power. It's based on in universe who wants to still do some good, but can't do it themselves, except Doctor Strange. But. But right. He doesn't have a solo title right now, so he has nowhere
right.
to go.
Right. So like it's like if the Avengers is like corporate team, like the people get all the funding, all the stuff. The X-Men are kind of like their own like weird found family kind of dynamic and school dynamic. The Defenders are just like the other people who are like, hey, I have powers, you have powers, you wanna like go punch some bad guys? Sure, that sounds great.
You wanna live in Doctor Strange's house?
Right. it's such a weird because like the Defenders slash the Champions, because like the Defenders branched off from the Champions question mark.
No, they were two separate teams, but the same concept I think you're getting at.
Right.
Where it's like it the Champions, it's like, oh, well, these former X-Men and Hercules and Black Widow and Ghost Rider need something to do.
Right. And so like they're like, okay, well, we're gonna go start this thing, and then the Defenders kind of started in a similar way. And mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, okay, like we're all kind of around. Do you guys like want to hang out together?
I need friends, let's do it.
Right. Like that's just kind of how it feels, because like no one necessarily has like strong ties to each other or like a reason to like because like again the Avengers are the team that recruits people, right? Like they're like, oh, we need to go find like sort of like best of the best slash Justice League. The yeah. X-Men are like, oh no, you come here because you are sad and need like help with like your powers, or like you want to come to the school or whatever. So like they're like trauma bond family. Like these guys are just like, hey, it's Friday, do you guys like want to go like bust up a drug ring? Sure, I'm not busy, like let's go.
And
there's a demon possession down the street. Awesome. Hey, I've got this demon guy over here. Should I call him to have him come with us?
Yeah, it's the team that deals with weird shit.
Yes. Like,
and I think it's an outcropping, if you want to look like real world where we are, like not comic world where they are. So many titles had collapsed basically in the mid to late 70s. Marvel just sort of folded all of their horror stuff And one of the survivors of that, if you listen to the Bronze Age Monsters podcast, which is really fun, and even Marvel by the Month, they do a good job chronicling like how these things sort of all in the mid 70s weren't a thing anymore, except Damon. He continued. He had his own title for a while after that. But there were just so many displaced heroes. Like Hellcat was in the Avengers for a cup of tea. But then it's like, what do we do with Patsy? I don't know. She was a supermodel. Then we turned her into someone with powers of like a cat, but it's like a spring-loaded claw. So we don't know where she belongs. So that's where you have writers for this series being like, okay, editors who are probably doing a lot of coke, like who's available? And it's just like this list that is proffered at them, like pick whoever the fuck you want, we don't care. Like Right. Now Marvel is so corporate that I think the assignments are very much like, oh well, let me look, I'm the editor, it looks like you can have Jean Grey for 3 issues and that's it, because there's also other stuff which you need to reference. In the early 80s they're probably like, do whatever the fuck you want, like Right. You want Patsy Walker, have fun, like
right oh, just sure. take her. Which also like a lot of creators were like, oh well, this is like Chris Claremont, he was like, oh well, this is somebody that I already wrote for, can I bring them? And they're like, sure, no one else wants them. And he's like, yeah, great, I'm gonna take this person,
which yeah. is fun. Yeah, so do you think you will ever revisit or read the rest of the Six Fingered Hand saga?
Probably not.
Okay.
probably not. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, this story doesn't like it. Like in reading any of these characters' sort of biographies or like getting to know who these characters are, no, this is not a blip on their like Wikipedia page. Maybe Demon Slayer or Devil Slayer potentially.
Yeah, because of the personal relationship component.
Right. But yep. no one else is getting like the six-fingered hand like
treatment
and like entry in their Wikipedia. Like this is not a big deal. Again, the Defenders are like fine, but also like the summary of like their existence, you could be like, they were this like weird quirky team, here are the lists of people, but like nothing ever really happened. Like, and I mean, not to say that like only these huge cross company events are the only things that are important. No, because obviously like, as you were saying, like this story sort of like helps set seeds for, you know, Patsy and Damon's relationship, and you know, Stephen Strange is always doing something stupid. But you know, in the grand scheme, it's like none of this really matters. It's fun. So like, if I'm ever like, oh, you know, now that I have Marvel Unlimited, I'm like, oh, you know, if I want to read something fun that I'm already kind of slightly invested in, sure, I can go back to this. But also, there's so many other things that like I haven't read that I would probably read before this.
Yeah. I'll have to have you on once the new Defenders come around. Once Himbo Bobby is just strutting around in briefs.
Yeah.
Because that, it's definitely a different flavor of Defenders once you get to new Defenders as well.
Right.
So.
Because that's where we get into like Cloud and Moondragon and like they're like the really weird stuff.
Yeah, and I feel that JM's time on this title, like he is taking it over and from a place where like Steve Gerber had it, which Steve Gerber, wonky stuff in the 70s. The man created Howard the Duck and also did so many other things and had a distinctive way that he liked to write a lot of these characters, and JM is taking them and progressing them, I feel, almost in a Claremontian way, where he's like really like, even Devil Slayer, you get so much background to a character you never even knew about, like all of a sudden you have this backstory, so you're invested in the character. It's not just like a, oh, remember this guy from issue 60? He's back and is going to help fight some demons. Like, no, there's actually a storyline reason written into this. So JM goes into, he dips his toe into New Defenders. I think he has the first six issues or something, and then he's gone from the title for the rest of the run. So it's an interesting period for the team where it's a lot of the old roster, and then you have JM incorporating, hey, I created a character named Gargoyle, and it's going to add a different facet. So it's not just the old characters, it's the new. And that's what we're seeing in this, is the first story arc he wrote, and it is transitional, is how I would describe it, in terms of the team, where he's taking it from where it was and setting it up for where he wants it to go in future years. So if you do stick around, that's why it seems the way it is, because it is mixing old Defenders and New Defenders in a blender and incorporating elements from both so that he can then set it up so he can do it his own way. So I encourage you, if you do get bored, to crack open an issue. And that's why I wanted to cover Defenders too with you and others, so you get different perspectives, so the people listening can hear about the Defenders from different people, because it is such an individual journey, and no one has really covered Defenders wholesale and just focused on them with a podcast, which is why I'm like, I always hear people talking about Defenders and how they wish someone would do it. So I'm like, we're going to do it. Because why not? Because it's fun. They're fun issues.
They're super fun. Like, again, if you're looking for like some good, like fun superhero nonsense, by all means, like this,
absolutely,
this was fun.
Yeah. All right. So this is coming out in the autumn. When? I don't know.
Autumn.
Yes. So let's talk about like your late fall, early winter. What's going on for you as the weather turns?
So as the weather turns, so I mean, I guess depending on when this comes out, I will be at the Uncanny Experience at the end of September.
And the Uncanny Experience, by the time this comes out, has already happened. And what a great time it was.
I had the best time. I'm almost positive that I will have had one of the best times ever. I'm very excited. So again, we're a couple of months away from it right now. I'm very excited for it. It's just going to be cool. But so after that, I'm going to be getting back into theater stuff. I will be costuming another show, potentially gearing up to audition for a different show.
Ooh.
Also just sort of like re kind of evaluating what it is that I want to do with my cosplay and my drag. I mean, I am pretty comfortable where I am, but like what, trying to decide like what to do to get it to the next level. I will say that I will be preparing for Farpoint, which is kind of my home convention that happens in February. We will be doing our annual drag show again this year in 2025. Hopefully we're going to have some new faces join us. We shall see. I'm trying to come up with some new Star Trek numbers. I will be doing, it's already in my Amazon cart. I will be doing that one issue villainess that you sent me. So, she will be the unnamed, femme fatale. So that will be coming to Farpoint. And then, in other big news or like stuff that I'm going to be preparing for is WonderCon, which is in March in Anaheim. I've talked about it a couple times on my Instagram, but I've been asked to be a part of a Thunderbolts group.
Ooh.
And Meteorite is by far the craziest costume as far as like technical difficulty. That I will have tried to do. I will obviously be getting lots of help from various friends on how to make that happen, but that will be happening. And in 2025, I'm trying to decide which con that I should bring her to, but I am determined to also do Gatecrasher from the town.
Oh, that'd be so good.
So
you always pick the best characters, and the way you interpret them is so unique. Like the way you execute any of the characters that you are cosplaying is so memorable that people talk about it for years. Like, we will still talk about it when we went to Drag Bingo and describing your outfit. Like, and yes, but possessed as malice. Like, yes. Yeah, malice was there, and you could tell because of the choker. And like, we still tell people about it to this day. So the art you bring to cosplay and to drag is just so appreciated and so seen. I'm so lucky to call you a friend and to drag you into something like a Defenders issue that you normally wouldn't have done. But hey, it's all about new experiences when it comes to being a fan. So
it is. So, and again, thank you so much. Like, you're so sweet. And thanks for having me come on. I love reading comics. So again, it's one of those things where like I'm no longer a person that I get into drag unless like I'm going to go do a gig. So like, I don't really get to read comics unless I am asked to by a podcast or something, because it's like I just don't have the time. So like, getting a chance to like sit down and read something has been really cool. So thank you.
So everyone, make sure to check out Demanda Martini on social media. Demanda, where can they find you?
You can find me across pretty much any social media website. My favorites being Venmo and Cash App. at Demanda Martini, DemandaMartini. As I said, I've got some pretty cool things coming up. When this comes out, we'll probably be in like that kind of lull of winter for drag and cosplay. But who knows? I might surprise everybody and be like, hey, I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff. So yeah, hope to see you kids out and about and around.
And thank you everyone for joining us, and tune in next time where we will crack into Defenders 98 as the hand closes.